Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns later on. It's a broadcast of Gunsmoke from 1957. But first, it's Fort Laramie, with the episode called The Talented Recruits, a CBS radio broadcast first heard on July 8, 1956.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Four barrels of flour. Destroyed?
Yes, sir. By weevils.
Weevils. At least it wasn't mice this time, Mr. Syberts.
No, sir.
Here you are, Lieutenant. Fill out the rest of it and have Sergeant Gorse drop it off at the AQM stores.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince, Mr. Syberts.
Major, sir.
Morning, Major Daggett.
Something especially interesting out that window? Or is it just spring fever?
Well, the quartermaster's report was a little boring this morning.
I know. It's hard to stay indoors in a day like this. Looks like spring's really here this time.
River's rising, snow melting in the mountains. This warm, we might have a flood like 2 years ago.
The water comes up this high on the bluff?
Oh, the fort's safe enough, Lieutenant. Trouble comes there, across the river in the civilian settlement.
Maybe this year it'll wash those hay ranches right out.
And they'd come right back with a new supply of whiskey. Now, if I had my way, they'd be cleaned out for good. That'd cut our guardhouse detail by half.
You can't blame the men too much, Major, when payday comes around only once a month.
Yeah, suppose not. I guess I've got spring fever, too. First birds I've heard in months.
Yeah. Our snowbirds will be thinking of flying, too.
Snowbirds?
Winter soldiers. Every year we have a few out here. Men who enlist in the fall just to get a warm spot for the winter. Now they'll be lighting out.
They'll desert?
Go on west to the gold fields.
This happens every year, Mr. Syberts. You can't punish a man before the crime is committed. Afterwards, it's usually too late. They're long gone.
Well, couldn't we go after them, bring them back?
We could, but we usually found more important things to do.
Couldn't we take measures to prevent it?
Any suggestions?
I don't know exactly, sir, but perhaps warn them at morning parade, read the penalty for desertion, double the guard.
And send patrols after the ones that slip through?
Well, it just seemed to me...
Meanwhile, the Cheyenne and the Sioux and the Crow are feeling the spring, too. Riling their blood.
I see, sir. You mean there's nothing we can do?
Oh, your theory's good enough, Mr. Syberts. I'll have the penalty read. And as for the Indians, we'll send out the usual spring patrols to look them over.
Well, this weather can't be too soon, Major. I'd say the Clearwater Patrol should be the first. I'd like to take that one.
Mr. Syberts here could handle it.
Mr. Syberts could handle these quartermaster reports too, Major. I'd probably be more useful in the field.
On a day like this, I'd like to be in the field too. That's the price you pay. Why should I relieve you of your responsibility just because you have spring fever?
No reason, I guess, Major Daggett.
All right. Take the Clearwater Patrol, Captain Quince.
Thank you, Major.
Well, I guess I'd better finish these reports.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant. Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Captain? Yeah, I was about to send for you.
Yes, sir.
Nice day, isn't it? But...
yes, sir.
Spring, I'd say. Wouldn't you?
I reckon it is, Captain.
Major's a little concerned about spring desertions. Think we have any snowbirds this year?
Maybe a few, like always.
There, been any talk?
Not much lately. Some of them find out they like it. Dress parade, the flag waving, the band playing, you know, Captain. Well, we'll have a few.
Yeah, not much we can do except keep our eyes open.
No, I guess not.
Must be pretty up along the Clearwater these days, wouldn't you say?
Mighty pretty.
You might be thinking about a patrol roster, Sergeant.
When, sir?
Ready to leave before dawn tomorrow? Don't expect your roster to recall.
I'll have it for you, Captain.
We'll go light, make a fast circle to...
what? You there, trooper.
Never mind, I'll take care of this. Private?
Yes? Oh, yes, sir.
Private, a soldier in the United States Cavalry does not sit down on sentry duty. Not even on a lazy spring day.
No, sir. Sorry, sir.
What's your name?
Blant, sir.
How long you been in the second?
6 months, sir.
You should be a soldier by now, Blant. But look at those boots. How long since you polished them? And this, what's this?
A belt, sir.
Where's your service belt?
I lost it, sir.
Lost it? You ever hear of canteen inventory? You know that everything you have is government property. Anything you lose is charged to your pay.
Yes, sir.
Then you'd better be more careful, Private. Get a new service belt today. And shine those boots.
Yes, sir.
Above all, don't sit down on sentry duty.
No, sir.
Carry on. Yes, everybody's got spring fever, Gorse.
Captain, that fella Blant.
What about him?
He was one of them, did a lot of talking last fall.
Oh? That's why he doesn't care about his uniform. Well, maybe he's one we can do something about.
Like what, Captain?
You can put him on the Clearwater Patrol roster.
I ain't too sure he's soldier enough.
It'll kill or cure him. And we'll be able to watch him.
Yes, sir.
You might try some of that dress parade on him. Put him on flag detail at retreat tonight. Dan Gorse.
Sir.
See that he polishes those boots. Sergeant, dismiss the company.
Company! Dismiss!
Private Blant.
Yes, sir.
You don't carry the flag tucked under your arm. That's the emblem of your country.
Sorry, sir.
I see Sergeant Gorse has you looking like you might make a soldier, but we'll find that out on patrol. All right, move out, Private. Well, what do you think, Gorse?
I don't know, Captain. He's got all the makings except the notion. He's got his mind on other things. I don't know we can depend on him. We might have to.
No, he might surprise you, Sergeant, if it came to that.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. 4 a.m. tomorrow, Sergeant.
And turn it.
That is.
All present are accounted for, Sergeant?
All except one, sir. Blant. He's gone. Must have left last night. Took his horse, equipment.
Real snowbird after all. You were right, Sergeant.
We can't have gone very far, sir. Maybe if we'd go through the hay ranches across the river.
All right.
Stand a horse. Lead out. Prepare to mount. Mount. Forward. By twos. At the walk. Ho.
Not much doing around here this early.
Well, they're not on army time.
No, sir. Whiskey time. I don't see any sign.
There. In that corral.
Yes, sir. By golly, that's an army mount back of old Greasy's.
I figured Greasy'd be the most likely to take a chance.
He didn't have time to get rid of it yet.
Patrol! Halt!
Gorse, come on along.
Yes, sir.
Jenkins, get that horse and put him with the pack mules.
Yes.
Hey! Hey, what's going on here? What do you think you're doing?
Where'd you get that horse in your corral, Greasy?
What horse?
You know what horse. Where's the man who brought it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Back room, Gorse.
Yes, sir. Now, wait a minute.
Get out of the way, Greasy. You're in enough trouble.
Now, wait a minute, Captain. Let me explain.
Yes, Captain.
Uniform, saddle, pack, hardware, everything.
You didn't expect us so soon, did you, Greasy? Where's the soldier you got this from? Well?
He left last night. Went on west to catch up with a wagon train went through yesterday.
All right. Of course, we'll take the uniform, saddle, and horse. Leave the rest.
Now, look here. I paid $150 and an old mule for them.
You didn't know it was stolen government property. Didn't figure to make at least another 100 profit from it. Oh, I'm bleeding for you, Greasy. Next time, stay out of trouble and collect the reward for deserters.
Some reward, $20.
Then take the consequences. Come on, Gorse.
Captain. He can't be far down the trail.
Our orders are to go on to the Clearwater, Sergeant. That's more important. But we just might circle back to the trail farther up. Who knows? We might find that wagon train.
Right, Captain.
What about, Sergeant?
Sure is pretty up here.
Was till now. Look up ahead.
Yeah.
Patrol! Halt!
Well, Gorse, what do you make of it?
It's Injuns, all right. I don't know what tribe. There was a lot of them, maybe 30, 40. Went south, maybe a day.
Yeah. And it was no hunting party.
No, it's a raiding party for sure. We're not too far from the Oregon Trail now. There'll be wagon trains coming through even this early. We know of at least one.
We'll follow their trail. Make sure.
Yes, sir, but we're awful short-handed for that big a party.
Well, we can warn the trains at least. Who's got the strongest horse?
Jenkins, I think.
All right. Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
You get back to Laramie as fast as you can. Report to Major Daggett we found a big party. Ask him to send B Company out along the Oregon Trail to meet us.
Yes, sir. Right now, sir?
Move out. All right, Gorse, let's go. At the trot. Ho! Should be getting close to the Oregon Trail, Sergeant.
Yes, sir, any time now. Maybe we better...
Wait a minute.
Guns, Captain.
At the gallop! Pull!
It's a wagon train, Captain. They're under attack. Surrounded. And them Cheyenne, at least 50. Sure don't stand much chance against that many, Captain.
No, but if we surprise them, we might be able to ride through to the wagons. Hold your fire, men. Stay low in the saddle, and we'll ride straight through. All right! Charge!
Captain, we're mighty glad to see you. I'm Ben Gale, leader of the train.
I don't know how much good we can do you, sir, but looks like we surprised them for the moment. We pulled off to talk it over. Get your people back of the wagons. They'll be coming in again.
All right. Boys, now get back to your places.
The horses are all secure, Captain.
Wait a minute, Gorse. Blant.
Oh? Hello, Captain.
I guess you were hoping not to see us.
Yeah, I guess I was. We are.
You're under arrest. Disarm him, Gorse.
Now, wait, Captain. I want a gun. We're going to need everyone here.
You didn't want to fight with us, Mr. Blant. Now you're not going to. You'll stay back with the women and children.
But, Captain, listen.
Here they come again.
All right, hold your fire. Let them get close.
Charges. How many more can we stand off, Captain?
They won't come in again tonight. Getting too dark. Looks like they're making camp, tending their wounded. We can expect them again at dawn, though. They're not leaving.
Not much we can do, is there?
Not much. Can't expect B Company till sometime tomorrow. We can hold out till then. Keep a good watch, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
How's Corporal James?
He'll be all right. He's asleep now.
Oh. It's you, Blant.
Bandaged his arm. Thought I might as well be useful.
Very good.
This one's all right, but Chambers over there is dead.
I see.
Captain, I want a gun.
You do, Blant?
You're outnumbered 3-1. You got 4 men wounded, 1 dead. I want to take his place.
You didn't want to fight with the cavalry.
I was never afraid of a fight. I just had other plans. I admit it wasn't right, but what does it matter now? We may none of us get back.
Matters to me. Matters to my men. The men you rode with.
Captain, I'd made up my mind, planned it all for so long, I had to go through with it.
Stubbornness is a poor excuse, Mr. Blant.
Won't you even let me try to make up for it?
Blant, you're going to stand trial for desertion.
I don't mean that. I mean to the men.
We'll see, Blant. In the morning.
Captain?
What?
Why wait till morning? I got an idea how we can get out of this. It's going to be dark tonight. If somebody could sneak out to those Indian horses, cut the picket rope, stampede them,
and... You think anybody could get within 100 yards of those horses and live?
But if they could, then if we were ready to move fast, they couldn't follow us. We could make it back to Bridger's Crossing by morning, maybe.
And what man am I supposed to send out there, Mr. Blant?
Me.
No. It's a crazy idea. So crazy, I think you were betting I wouldn't accept it.
I guess I got that coming. But you have to admit, even if it was true, I was betting my life.
We'll risk it right here, Mr. Blant. You go on tending the wounded. About the gun? Well, we'll see you in the morning. Mr. Gale, why don't you turn in? We'll keep the watch.
I'm leader of this wagon train, Captain. I'll stay.
All right.
It's kind of mesmerizing, though. Staring at them little fires, winking in the dark. Captain, think we got a chance?
Well, if our ammunition holds out, the relief should be here before too many hours.
Well, I hope so. I sure do hope so.
Captain?
Yes, Sergeant?
Have you seen Blant, sir?
No.
He's gone. Escaped again, I guess.
I wouldn't be too sure of that, Sergeant.
What do you mean, sir?
Mr. Gale, if I give the word, how quick can you hitch all your mules to two wagons, put the women and children in one, wounded in the other?
What do you mean, Captain?
I mean, we may be getting out of here.
Captain, something's going on over there.
I know, Sergeant. Get those mules hitched, Mr. Gale.
All right, Captain.
Captain, I don't understand.
You will in a minute, Gorst. Here he comes. Now hold your fire.
Hold your fire!
Captain, it's Blant.
Yeah, it's Blant.
It worked, Captain. It worked, stampeding them right through the camp. There's quite a ruckus over there.
I can hear it, Mr. Blant. We're getting ready to move. You're not very good at obeying orders, are you?
What about that gun now, sir, and a horse? We might have to fight yet.
You're still under arrest, and it's dark night. If you had a horse and a gun, we might not ever see you again.
That's right, sir. You might not.
Sergeant Gorse?
Sir?
You'll furnish Mr. Blant with a horse and carbine. He'll ride the rear guard.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Captain.
Too bad about you, Blant. You might have made a fair soldier if you weren't so stubborn. All right, let's get moving.
Getting light, sir. Can see pretty good now.
What do you see, Sergeant?
Well, no engines anyway, and that's the main thing.
Look up ahead, Sergeant. Way out, past the crossing.
Well, that's a column, Captain. That's Company B.
Right, Sergeant. I think we can pull up now. Patrol! Halt!
For, Captain.
There's our relief up ahead, Mr. Gale. They'll be here in a few minutes. We're safe now. Patrol! Dismount and pin graze. Wood and water detail, Sergeant Gorse. Everybody will be hungry. As soon as... Oh. Hello, Blant.
Morning, Captain.
You lost your chance, Mr. Blant.
Well, sir, a man can be stubborn just so long. True. If it's any satisfaction to you, I'm sorry now about the whole thing.
You mean you find you like the cavalry?
Yes, sir, I do.
Sergeant Gorse?
Yes, sir.
You still have that uniform we picked up at Old Greasy's?
Back with the pack mules.
You better get into it, Blant, before B Company arrives.
But
you have some objection, Private?
No, sir.
I don't think anybody in this patrol will object, will they, Sergeant Gorse?
I sure don't think so.
Captain? Thank you, sir.
I'm going to cite you in my report.
I understand, sir.
For heroism in action against the enemy.
Well, Captain...
But don't think you're going to get off scot-free, Private. There's always canteen inventory, and you got a bad habit of losing government property. We recovered your horse and saddle and uniform, but the rest of it, it's going to cost you a couple of months' pay.
Yes, sir. I don't mind, sir.
All right, move out, Private.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you grinning at, Gorse?
Why, nothing, sir.
I don't think the major would approve, Sergeant, but you and I know how hard it is to find a good soldier.
Yes, sir.
Now, what about those wooden water details, Sergeant? I'm hungry.
Yes, sir, Captain Quince.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Dunkel, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles and Harry Bartell, with Paul Duboff, Howard Culver, James Nusser, and Joseph Cranston.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 8, 1956 on CBS. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for a broadcast of Gunsmoke, written by Tom Hanley, who wrote well over 150 stories for the series. Also, he worked on the CBS Western programs Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, The Frontier Gentleman, and also CBS Radio's hit, which was also on television, Have Gun, Will Travel. This broadcast called Summer Night, from June 16, 1957, on CBS.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. It'll die down when the sun hits them tomorrow.
Well, it's all this that makes me want to go and all that that makes me stay.
California!
Yahoo!
Oh, Chester, stop that.
What's the matter with you? Do you have to do that right in my ear?
Doggone it, Doc. I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing there.
You didn't see me standing.
Hello, Matt. Oh, what's the matter with you? You wish you were going along?
No.
Why not? A lot of good-looking women in that train.
Well, you got a point there, Doc.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, I'm going to ride out and follow along with them, ways. Do you mind?
All right, Chester.
I'll see you later, Doc.
Yes, I'll see you later. Oh, listen to him.
Come on, Matt. I'll buy you a drink.
You're pretty flush now that you filched all you could out of that wagon train, aren't you, Doc?
Not hardly. You can't get blood out of a turnip.
You sure did try, though, didn't you?
Oh, nonsense. That crowd's been here 3-4 weeks now, freeloading on Dodge. And you know it.
Well, they came clear from Ohio, Doc.
I know that.
Well, they got to freshen up their supplies somewhere, don't they?
Oh, is that what they call it?
Well, you got a real burn, haven't you?
Well, no wonder. I'm tired. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of all this heat, this dust, these nights that are hotter than days. Crying babies I've never seen before and you'll never see again. I'm glad that mob's gone, Matt. I'm darn glad of it.
Who broke all those glasses? Sam, we got nothing left around here.
Hello, Kitty.
Oh,
you feeling it, too?
Well, if you're asking me, am I fed up? The answer's yes.
Whiskey, Sam. None of that trade whiskey you've been throwing into our recent guests, either. I'll be sitting over here.
Kind of got the dock, hasn't it?
Yeah, all of us, Kitty. Yeah, place is pretty empty, isn't it?
Well, it sure wasn't 2 hours ago. The whole town was in here to say goodbye to that crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, let's step out back. It's too hot in here.
Yeah.
Maybe Greavy was right starting out at night. At least they'll miss one day of sun. Matt, what do you think?
Hmm? About what?
Their chances.
Oh, some of them will make it. Some of them won't.
It always bothers me to see them.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. They're so fresh and eager when they hit Dodge. They think they've already been through it. They've forded rivers. They've seen a few blanket Indians. Their kids have had the fever. But they don't know what's waiting for them out there on the high plains.
Yeah, that's what's biting Doc, too.
They think it's going to be Ohio to Kansas all the way. And you can't tell them any different.
Kitty.
Yeah.
Look, you and Doc, there's nothing you can do for him.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. I'm restless. I think I'll go back inside.
Oh, Kitty?
Yeah, Matt.
Thanks. Take good care, Doc, will you?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's me, Chester.
Well, man, how come you ain't in bed? It's awful late.
Well, it's too hot. And how far'd you follow him?
To Moss Grimmick's hay camp. It was kind of a party out there.
Oh, there was?
Mm-hmm.
Everything all right in the wagon train?
It seemed to be.
Well, I'm going out of bed, Mr. Dillon. Good night.
Good night, Chester.
Hey,
I'm all right, kitty.
Oh, hello, Matt.
You need a hand?
No, we're all right.
Okay.
Hey, come on.
Oh,
take it easy now.
I'm
without kidding.
Upsa-daisy.
Yep.
Yep.
Come on.
Here we go. That's it. Oh, you're not joking. Good Lord. Look at that thing.
Good heavens.
Huh? Well, what is it, Doc? What's the matter up there?
Come up here, Matt. Somebody's left Doc a baby.
They all right, Kitty?
Sure. Both of them. They're asleep.
Yeah. Doc was sure feeling his liquor, wasn't he?
But he still insisted on checking that baby before I could get him to lie down.
Yeah.
Imagine, Matt. It's a girl. She's awful little.
Kitty, how much you know about taking care of a baby, huh?
Less than you'd think.
You know it's going to be your responsibility.
Mine?
Well, I mean, until we find the mother.
Oh.
She must be in that wagon train. Chester and I'll ride after him tonight. We can catch him by morning.
You better. Wait till Doc wakes up and finds that baby in his room. He'll never take another drink.
They sure are laying down a dust trail, ain't they, Mr. Dillon?
Gravy said he was going to keep pushing until the sun got overhead.
It ain't but 7 or so now, and it's uncommon hot.
Yes, sir.
Howdy. Morning, ma'am. Hello, John.
Mr. Dillon, there's Mr. Gravy way up ahead there.
Yeah, I see him. Come on. Hey, Gravy. Mr. Gravy. Hey.
Marshal Dillon.
Yeah.
What brings you way out here?
I want to talk to your people, Greeley. Can you hold them up a little while?
Hold them up? You mean stop the train?
Well, that's important, or I wouldn't ask. It's real important.
Well, yeah, all right.
Hold it up, boys! Hold it! Hold it!
Chester, go back down the line and tell everybody I want him to meet at the center of the wagon train, huh?
All right, sir.
What's this all about, Marshal?
You got to bear with me, Greavy. I got to do this. Come on, I want you
too. All right, folks. Settle down. Folks, please. Hey, you all know Marshal Dillon. Now, he won't tell me what this is all about, but he says he wants to make a speech.
Well, Mr. Greavy's wrong about that. The speeches were made last night. Now, Dodge was glad to have you folks, and we all wish you well. But what I've got to say is only for one person, or maybe two. I'm talking to the woman who left her newborn baby at Doc Adams last night. Now, all I can say to you is that you better think on it, whoever you are, because California's a long way from Kansas. It's too long if you start to regret it too late. Now, I'm not interested in bringing charges against anybody. So why don't you think it over before it is too late, huh? Thank you. Well, that's all, Greavy. Thanks very much. Come on, Chester.
How did it go out the wagon train today, man?
Well, I told him. That's all.
So long. No. I'm going over to Long Branch for a minute.
Now, you know that stuff's habit forming, don't you?
For your information, I need sheets. Torn bed sheets.
Oh. That.
Yeah. That. You know, she's not going to show up, Matt.
Well, what makes you think so?
Any woman who'd abandon her baby isn't going to be swayed by your brand of sentimentalism.
Well, maybe not, Doc, but I'm going to be here just in case.
All right. Suit yourself. Chester, what are you doing down here?
Oh, now, don't worry, Doc. I'm going right back, but I just remembered something I ought to tell Mr. Dillon. Mr. Dillon?
Did you just remember to tell me something, Chester?
Who's? Yes, sir, I did. See, there was a fella that come by here, and he said he was a soldier.
Oh?
Yes, sir, it seems he just got his discharge.
Well, what did he want?
Well, he was asking about the wagon train. See, he thinks maybe his wife was with it.
His wife?
Yes, sir, he was supposed to meet her farther out at Cimarron Crossing, but he got to Dodge sooner than what he expected.
Well, what did you tell him?
Well, I told him they was long gone, but he could catch up with them easy, and so he rode off. Well, I guess ain't too important, but I feel bad I didn't tell you before. See, what with that new baby and all, my nerves is... Well, Mr. Dillon, I better get back up there before something happens.
All right, Chester, go ahead. Hello, Kitty.
Sit down.
What'd you do with Doc?
Very little. He got his sheets, but he'd hardly speak to Sam.
Well, maybe he's blaming Sam for what happened.
Well, Doc's got quite a homey problem with that baby.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do, Matt?
Let nature take its course, I guess.
Oh, you always were an optimist.
Well, in my business, I have to be. Say, Kitty, could you get me something to eat?
Sure, Matt.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
She's here, Mr. Dillon.
Huh?
That little baby's mama is waiting for you over at the office.
Chester, go tell Doc to come down to the office. You stay with the baby, huh?
All right, sir. Oh, this here is Marshall Dillon, ma'am.
I'm Mrs. Bailey.
You were with the wagon train, weren't you, Miss Bailey?
Yes. I've come for my baby.
Uh-huh. Well, where's your husband? Didn't he come with you?
Well, Marshall, my husband's been away in the Army for 2 years.
Oh, I see.
That's why I left my baby.
Yes, Matt?
This is Dr. Adams, Miss Bailey.
Oh,
Matt, can I have a word with you?
Well, right now, Doc?
Right now.
Marshal, I'm Clint Bailey. I rode all the way out to that wagon for... Jenny?
Clint. Oh, hello, Clint.
It's good to see you.
Marshal, this is my husband.
But what are you doing here? Now, something wrong? Jenny, what is it?
Marshal, you tell him.
Mr. Bailey, your wife came for her baby.
Came for a baby? What do you... Jenny,
she could have left it, but she didn't.
Is it true, Jen? Well, is it?
Yes.
But, Jen, we never had kids. All the years we've been married...
I know,
we never...
Clint, it wasn't for me not wanting them.
Well, what is this baby? It's a girl. Girl. That's good. That part's good.
Can we keep her, Clint?
I've been waiting 2 years to come back to you, Jenny. And I can't lose you now.
Say, Doc, you sleeping?
No, Matt, I was just thinking.
No, good for you.
You know, it's a thing like that tonight that gives you all the hope you need to keep going.
You'd have been better out sleeping, Doc.
It wasn't her baby, you know.
What? What are you talking about?
She came to me 3 weeks ago. I told her then that she could never have a baby. Never.
Well, why did she lie to her husband?
Because of you. She was afraid you wouldn't let her take it. But then I'm sure she's told him the truth by now.
Well, Doc, you should have told me it. This isn't right. What if the real mother shows up?
Do you think she will?
No, Doc. I don't.
Can I buy you a drink, man? Just one, of course.
Just one? I think that'd be fine, Doc.
Star, William Conrad.
4 weeks ago, we asked you to let us know which Gunsmoke stories you would like to hear again. And your letters and cards have enabled us to select the 5 most popular. But more important, however, to those of us here on the show were the wonderful expressions of warmth and interest. We're deeply grateful. Well, next week, the first of the 5 most popular shows. It's one we have called simply Home Surgery.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty.
George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 16, 1957 on CBS. And that does it for this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.